praise you. We thank you for the good things this year of fruitfulness, the wonderful things you're bringing to pass at Calvary, Lord, and for Love Never Fails International. Father, we start off by just thanking you for the new little one that has come into this life, Isaiah Joseph Wallace. Lord, bless that little one and continue to just heal up Sarah, Lord, and give her strength and so forth. And Lord, for Eleanor, just continuing to be with her in the hospital, bringing healing to her body. And oh, Lord, let there be peace there in her heart, letting her know that we love her. And Lord, we also lift up the nation of Israel tonight. Lord, the horrible things that are happening there, that, Lord, the Middle East is like a boiling pot or something, Father. We just ask and pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And I ask tonight, Lord, for your blessing and that you would help me to teach the things that you've given me. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church says, amen. Amen. Turn with me tonight into the New Testament book of Hebrews. We're going to be in Hebrews chapter 5, beginning, verse 11, I believe. And tonight I want to talk to us of something that's been on my heart lately, and that is about discerning the times that we live in. Hebrews chapter 5, in verse 11, I believe, and I'll be there in about 30 minutes. And but, you know, one of the greatest concerns in my personal life is missing the journey with God. You understand what I'm saying? Missing the plan of God, not getting in on the plan of God the way I should, or missing the timing of God's plan. That's why it's so important to always be walking in the Spirit, to listening to the voice of the Spirit, to be filling our hearts with the Word of God and prayer. Amen? And so, you know, we learned a Sunday about a distracted heart and how a distracted heart, you know, their entire life is choked out by those three things Jesus talked about, worry, wealth, and worldliness, the pleasures of this life and so forth. That kind of heart, of course, never brings forth any fruit. And what's so tragic is they miss God's plan. They miss God's eternal life, that they miss their purpose and they miss the journey. The moment that any church stops moving forward or stops progressing with the things of God, they start regressing back into staleness or back into the world. Their journey literally is not moving forward. And what happens then is they no longer have ears to hear, which makes them, makes us all, if that happens to us, where we're not really discerning the times that we live in and the voice of the Lord. Christian explorer David Livingstone said this. He said, "I am willing to go anywhere, 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 as long as it is forward," meaning forward with the Lord. Who wants to go back? Amen. I want to keep going forward. Now listen, the Bible is filled with those who literally have heard the Word of God and yet missed out their God-given journey. Just think of the nation of Israel. Remember when Jesus was talking about what's going to come upon Jerusalem in Luke 19:44, and he says, oh, they're going to level you and your children within. They're going to level you to the ground, and they will not leave one stone in you upon another. And the reason? Because you did not know the time of your visitation. You were not able to discern the times that you were living in, even though they were warned. Jesus talking to the Pharisees in Matthew 16:1 said, it says, "Then the Pharisees, they came, and the Sadducees, they came and testing Jesus and asked him, saying, show us a sign from heaven. And Jesus answered and said to them, when it is evening, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it'll be foul weather today, for the sky is red and threatening. Hypocrites, you know how to discern." That's what we're talking about this tonight. "You know how to discern the face of the sky, but you're not able to discern the signs of the times." Boy, I tell you, do we live in a strange day right now? Think about it. The Pharisees were the experts in the law of God. They were the ones who had all the wisdom, supposedly, and all the understanding, and they asked for a sign from heaven. And standing right in front of them was the sign from heaven, God in the flesh, God, Emmanuel, God with us. Amen? And they missed it. They were unable to discern what was happening in their midst. I don't want to live like that or be like that. The Bible says in Proverbs 15:21, "Folly is joy to him who is destitute of discernment, But the man of understanding walks uprightly. Ecclesiastes 8:5 says, it says this, he who keeps his command will experience nothing harmful. Now listen closely. And a wise man's heart, not his mind, but his heart, his inner person, discerns, there's that word tonight, discerns both time and judgment. Both time, when to do a thing and then how to do the thing, okay? And it says, because of every matter, there is a time and judgment, though through the misery of man increases greatly. And the reason is because man is sometimes is unable to discern both time and judgment, when to do a thing and how to do a thing. Boy, I'll tell you, if there's ever been a time, I look at the things that are going on right now, just in the Middle East. And, you know, I've been trying to do a study on that, the things that are happening with this new Islamic state that's trying to come forth and how they're wanting to take over, you know, Morocco, Spain, part of Northern Africa, even Saudi Arabia, the things that they want to do, how they're burning down Christian churches and destroying. I just read recently that they even destroyed the tomb of Jonah and so forth, dug it up, destroyed it completely. They're removing everything from the land. That's like a locust that has gone through there. And then you look at Hamas and Israel tonight, you know, as we pray for the peace of Jerusalem, the things that are going on, and how Hamas is so stubborn, and they do not desire to have any peace, nor will they stop the rocket attacks, even though Israel say, let's go ahead and have truce, but it's not happening. So you say, Lord, what's going on? Syria's nearly destroyed. Iraq, you know, is nearly destroyed and so forth. We need to have discernment for the times that we live in. It says in 1 Chronicles 12:32 that the sons of Issachar, who had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. Now, the sons of Issachar, remember, were the fewest of David's army. There's only a couple of hundred guys. And they were the wise people, the wise leaders of the land. Let me ask you a question. Out of all of the people on this planet, should not the church of the living God be the ones who are able to understand the times that we live in and what we ought to be doing? I mean, if the sons of Issachar could do that, why not the church of the living God? And I say, oh, Lord, you know, listen, we're not going to find out any information on Google, okay? I asked Siri just a little bit ago. I said, hey, Siri, how do I understand, discern the times we're living in? She says, no compute, does not compute or something, you know. Siri doesn't know. You know, listen to me carefully. Proverbs 22:3, a prudent man, that's us, praise the Lord. We foresee evil, we hide ourselves, but the simple pass on and are punished. 1 Corinthians 2:14, the natural man does not receive or literally welcome the things of the Spirit. Why? For their foolishness to him, now listen carefully, nor can he know them, meaning the things that God has for us, the discernment of God for the time we live in. Neither can he know them. Why? Because they are spiritually discerned. Spiritually discerned. See, we're not without discernment. And you know, it goes on to say in verse 15 of 1 Corinthians 2, but he who is spiritual, the spiritual man, judges or literally discerns all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. So those that are walking in the Spirit, those that are being led by the Spirit, those that are staying in close fellowship with the Holy Spirit of God, those who take the Word of God as their meat, if you will. Prayer is like manna to them. It's a breath of fresh air and so forth. Those are the ones who discern the things that are happening. How is that? Let me finish in 1 Corinthians 2:16. For he who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him. But we, meaning Christians, we have the mind of Christ. Now, the word we have in the Greek means we own, we possess. As you've heard me say many times, the church is the great depository, if you will, of the mind of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It says in Philippians 2:5, it says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. That is that's present imperative in the Greek. It means it's a commandment. God says, I want you to have the mind of the Lord. When we have the mind of the Lord, you think we can discern the times? Absolutely discern the issues that we're facing in our family, in our home life, our work life, and the nation that we're living in, all that we're doing. So we're to think and act like one person, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen, this is not for just a few believers. It's for all believers. It says in 1 Peter 3:8, finally, all of you be of one mind. If we have that kind of unity, there should be great discernment. If we don't have that unity, there should be then little discernment. Paul writes in Philippians 2:2, he says, fulfill my joy, or literally make my day, and he tells us how. By being like-minded, meaning the mind of Christ, having the same love, being of one accord and one mind. Now listen carefully. The measure that the church of Jesus Christ operates in the mind of Christ will be the true measure of our discernment, the discernment of our times. Also, it'll be the way we act and treat one another if we operate in the mind of Christ. Now listen, every day that we have, and you're saying, Bill, are you going to get to Hebrews? Yes, I'm going to get there. Every day that we have is filled with a new adventure, or I should say it could be. You know, there's always a time of change in our life. Like in Noah's day, there's a time to build an ark, Noah, but there's also a time to get into the ark, and there's a time to leave the ark again. Amen? Abraham, hey, there's a time when you lived in Ur of the Chaldees, but then there's a time when God called you to leave the Ur of the Chaldees and go into a place that you know not about, a land that's completely unknown to you. We're always moving forward. Amen. I hope we are. We're always on a new journey. There's always a time like it was with the disciples, you know, Peter and them. It's time to leave the fishing business and go into the true fishing business. You know what I'm saying? There's always a time to do that. I believe that next month is August, of course. That's not hard to know, but it's the eighth month. Eight is always a special number with me and with God. Eight is a number of a new beginning. Now, I believe that we are, and I can't define it, nor will I, that keeps me safe and out of trouble. I believe that we're at some sort of turning point at Calvary Chapel. And when I say a turning point, it's like here we're going down the road and all of a sudden there's a new exit sign there. And this new exit sign says, exit here for a new season for Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. And I wonder in some small way if indeed there is a new season. If indeed I sense that there's a newness, something, a change that's getting ready to occur, I wonder if, in a way, could it be maybe in the word that the Lord gave to Joshua? Remember there in Joshua chapter 3, you know, the day finally came for Israel to cross over into the promised land. And, you know, the Lord told Joshua, he says, you know, Joshua, you are going where you have never been before. I like that. You're going where you've never been before. You're about to embark on a new adventure. I wonder if in some small way, if I am really sensing an exit sign up in front of us that says exit here. We're going in a whole different direction. Not changing what we do here, not changing the way we teach the word, but a change, in other words, a new adventure with Jesus. And I'll tell you, there's nothing more exciting than having and being involved in a new adventure with the Lord. Someone said this, never be afraid to go where you've never gone and do what you've never done before, because both are necessary to have what you've never had and to be who you've never been. Now, with all that being said, I pray that you are at Hebrews chapter 5. Jesus said this. He said, ye who have ears to hear, let him hear. And I pray that our ears are open. Now look at verse, let's go to verse 9. Talking about our Lord Jesus as our great high priest. And it says, and having been perfected, he, meaning Jesus, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who what? Obey him, okay. Called by God as high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. Now look at verse 11. Of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, not because they didn't lack the intelligence, but he says this, I have a lot to tell you, but you have become what? Dull of hearing, literally slothful, or you have a bunch of lazy ears. You're not hearing. Now listen, of whom is not speaking in context of Melchizedek, the priesthood of Melchizedek, or the Levitical priesthood, okay? It's talking about Jesus. of whom means Jesus, our great Savior, our great High Priest, the one who's seated at the right hand of God. And there was so much the writer of Hebrews wanted to say about Jesus, the great High Priest, but he couldn't. And the reason that he couldn't is because they were dull of hearing. They had a hearing problem. They were slow to hear. They were numb to God's word. We know it's possible to hear the sound of words, right? And not hear them. Amen? Just ask your wife. She'll tell you the same thing, okay? Now listen, we are going, I hope, on a new journey. And if we're going to discern the times, if we're going to know what to do, then we have to have ears to hear. Amen? I mean, we don't want to be lazy Christians. We want to really know what's happening. Verse 11 says, have become. That means they weren't always this way. That means that they didn't start out dull. They became dull. Why? Because they're going backwards. They're regressing. They're not going forward. They're in a rut. And boy, that's something we never want to be in, is a rut. So anytime that you have that regression, that means you have no discernment. Remember that you've heard it many times, that hearing and doing is what? One act. James 1:22. Be doers of the word of God, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. So these people here, I believe the writer of Hebrews is Paul, but it's okay. I don't know. I mean, I have no proof of that, but I just think that it was, or he was. But whoever Paul or the author was writing to here, the Hebrews, they had a specific problem. They had a specific hearing problem, but the problem was with Jesus as the great High Priest. Remember that the temple was still standing probably when this was written, and they were coming out of the Judaism, the old covenant, into the new covenant. Now listen, here's the question. Are you satisfied where you're at right now? I think I mentioned that on Sunday. I said, are you content? Are you satisfied right now where you are? I mean, are you satisfied with your investigation of who Jesus Christ is? Are you satisfied? Have you explored every inch of the great white throne? I mean, the throne of grace. Have you, in your prayer time, have you gone there and you know everything there is about it? You know where you come boldly? No, their dullness of hearing was gradual. See, we know where Jesus is. The Bible tells us right now in Hebrews 9:24, for Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, where copies of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. We have a representative there. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. Oh, so wonderful. He knows our pain. He knows everything we're going through. We can go to the throne of grace anytime. He knows the power behind every trial that you're facing in your life. Everything that is occurring. We can run to him who tasted death, defeated death, hell, the devil, and he loves us. Amen. That's why it says, let us come boldly in Hebrews 4:16. Let us come boldly with confidence, assurance to the throne of grace, that we may obtain something we can have, mercy, and find grace to help in time of need. Now look at verse 12. For though by this time, now we don't know how much time that is, but by this time, the writer of Hebrews says, you ought, all believers, he says, by this time you ought to be teachers, but you need someone to teach you again. See, they've already been taught. They already knew the word of God. They're regressing. They're not discerning. They're not knowing the times that they live in. They're missing their calling. They're missing their destiny. He says, you need to be taught all over again. You've already been taught. And look what they need to be taught. The first principles of the oracles of God are the word of God. In other words, the ABCs are the very basics of the faith, if you will. He said, you need to go back to pre-K. Let's put it that way. And you have come. They didn't used to, but you've come to what? Need milk. You need to be retaught all over again and not solid food. It says you have come to need milk again. Can you imagine leaving a T-bone steak for a bottle of milk? Hello? Or how about a juicy pork chop? You know, when it's fried? Oh, I mean fried, crispy, and you can chew the bone and... Or pork ribs, where they slide off that bone, and there they are, and you would go back, no, I just want a bottle. Just give me a bottle of milk, you know. No, they were regressing. See, they were going back. They were getting weaker instead of stronger. Now listen, open your ears now. There's milk and there's solid meat. Two things, okay? Now listen, the milk of the Word of God always refers to the earthly ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's very important that we see that. What does that mean, Bill? Well, it means what Jesus has done. It talks about meaning his birth, his life, his teaching, his death, burial, resurrection. Now, we never, ever outgrow the milk. Never. We'll always need the milk because there's so much left to learn. But it says here that solid food, it says that you have milk, but not solid food. Now, listen, do we live at the cross? No. Why? He's not on the cross. That was 2,000 years ago. See, we don't live at the cross. That's outer court ministry. The Christian is not in the outer court. The Christian now goes to the where? Holy of Holies. Now listen, that's where the meat is going to be found. See, the solid food refers to what Jesus is doing now. Not what Jesus has done, but what Jesus is doing now in heaven, what he's doing for us. In other words, his heavenly priestly ministry, what Jesus is doing. So the head of the church, he's building the church, of course, but he's also giving us discernment. He wants us to know the times that are at hand. It says, for everyone, there's no exceptions. Look at verse 13. For everyone who partakes, or literally, who uses only milk, that's your only diet, is what? Unskilled. No, you're inexperienced, you know, in what? In the word of righteousness, in discernment, in how to live right and so forth. For he is a baby. He's immature. Now listen, milk is vital for every believer, but there comes a time when you have to add to your diet the solid meat of God's word. Amen? I mean, where you really get into it. It says in 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes, it says, desire the pure milk of the word and the reason that you may grow thereby. All of us entered the faith as a baby. We all need milk, but we also need solid food to grow to maturity. Whenever we have only an exclusive milk diet, it means we're never going to grow up. We're never going to have discernment. We're going to just be a little baby. Now listen carefully. It means that we're going to miss the adventure. It means that we're always going to have someone giving us a spiritual bottle, if you will, and helping us. To be on milk, it means that you're not feeding yourself. It means that someone else is feeding you. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3:2, I fed you with milk, that's Jesus' earthly ministry, I fed you with milk and not with solid food, that's Jesus' high priestly ministry, what Jesus is doing now. He says, I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. Well, when Paul wrote that, the church at Corinth was at least 5 years old. He says, you're not able to receive it. And even now, even this moment, after 5 years, you're still not able to receive it. Why? Because you're carnal. You're still carnal. You're still babes in Christ. You're still immature. Now listen, don't miss the adventure. So many today, it seems, as you've heard me say that, a lot of people just want baby talk from the pulpit. You know, and there's nothing wrong with feel-good sermons. I like a feel-good sermon. Every sermon should be a feel-good sermon. Amen? But, you know, the fact of the matter is that sometimes, you know, the little babies, they don't want anything but feel-good sermons. They don't want to pick up the cross. In other words, deny themselves, follow the Lord. That's putting them, they say, under the law. No, you're under grace, but that's not the law. That's a command. Amen? So we have to think about that. So they're babes, and the reason they're dull of hearing is because they just love milk. Look what it says in verse 14. It says, but solid food belongs to those who are full age. That is, those who by reason of use, in other words, an habitual use, watch this, have their senses exercised to what? There's that word. To discern evil, both good and evil. So when we talk again about the solid food, it's to understand and to know and to live in and be a part of the high priestly ministry of Jesus Christ, to go to the throne of grace. For the Lord, tell me what you need to do. Tell me what's in your heart. See, solid food is available, and we know where to find him. We just go to the throne of grace. Now listen, discernment is a great need of our day. And whenever there's not discernment in the church, that means that the church is actually walking in immaturity, spiritual immaturity. And you know what happens to babes that never want to grow up? They never discern the voice of the good shepherd. Oh, they're saved, but they just don't move into things of God. We need discernment today. Again, out of all the people on the earth, the church should, of the living God should understand the times and know. So we need to open up our hearts and our ears to the Spirit of God. Now listen, in order to go into the area of fruitfulness, to go where we've never been before, I want you to think about this. Yes, number one, we must step out of condemnation. Thank God we did that, didn't we? In other words, we were saved. We stepped out of the wrath of God over into the love of God and were the peace of God. So we step out of condemnation into justification. That's a wonderful thing. But so many people get stuck right there. Oh, I'm no longer condemned. I'm justified. And they never step into sanctification. They don't move forward in the sanctification. Listen, sanctification is where the life of adventure begins with Jesus. It's where everything starts changing in your life. It's where the Holy Spirit starts working on you. It's a place of abundant fruit. It says in 2 Corinthians 17, it says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Meaning there is freedom. Freedom from what? Well, freedom from the law, thank God. Freedom to walk in grace, but also freedom to be transformed. Listen carefully what it says. But we all, meaning every believer, but we all with an unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of God, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So the work of sanctification in the life of the believer, it's an ongoing process. Our being there is that present tense verb, and meaning that our transformation goes on and on and on. We're not what we used to be, are we? We're changing here. Now listen, the measure of our sanctification, the measure of being changed by the Holy Spirit, will be the measure of our adventure and the measure of our journey. That is so important. Because see, if you're not changing into what God wants you to be, he can't use you. When you see what I'm saying? Here's the road over here. But if we refuse to let that sanctification work in our hearts and the Holy Spirit work in our hearts, when we get to that road, we won't know to take it. Are you following me? And the reason we can't take that road is because we're not prepared to take it. The Holy Spirit he wants to do that, but we somehow resisted him. We wanted to walk in the flesh. We wanted to live our own life. We wanted to be saved and happy, but I'm not going to do anything else. So we have to be careful of that. The same image, of course, is not talking about our looks. It's talking about our actions, that we start the journeying into Christ's likeness from one stage unto the next stage, one journey to the next. Now, this sermon is about an hour old. Is that okay? That's the truth. I sat there about 2 hours ago and put this thing together. Just some feelings in my heart. And I just thoughts that are coming to me, because next month we're going to be doing some things on Wednesday night that's going to be different. And, you know, I was thinking, I said, let Calvary Chapel Fort Worth be a crucified man, a broken man, a broken woman serving the crucified Lord. Amen. And I started thinking about that. You know, it says in Romans 12:1, where Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service or reasonable worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The basis of all transformation, as you've heard me say so often, is just simply opening up your Bibles. And if not, there'll be absolutely no discernment. Let me read Proverbs 2:1 to you real quick. It says, my son, if, now that's a condition, okay? A condition. If is a condition. It says, if you welcome my words, God says, and if you treasure, meaning to store up my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom. In other words, you have ears to hear and apply your heart to understanding. You put into practice what you hear. Yes, if, there's a condition again. Yes, if you cry out for discernment. If the Christian will cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding. And if you seek her, meaning God's wisdom, how to know to do a thing and when to do a thing. If you'll seek it as silver, like mining for it, wanting it with all of your heart, and search for her as hidden treasure. Listen carefully. Then, and literally I can add to scripture, then and only then will you understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Meaning it's available to you. It's available to be found. Now listen, I believe next month is going to start something a little different. I mean, is it time to step out beyond our faith? Do you ever ask yourself that? Listen, you know, I have always been, and I'm not saying I'm different than you. I'm just telling you how I've always been. And then now that I'm a little older, I don't feel I'm that way much anymore. I don't want to lose the adventure. I don't want to lose out on what the future holds in my walk or your walk. I mean, I don't want to be afraid to step out. Do you? See, it's really easy. A man my age, I'm only 45, but you know, when you've been the pastor this long, you can say, you know, like people say, well, Bill, you know, you've worked 30 years. My gosh, why don't you slow down now and learn to play golf? But that's not who I am. And I don't know how to play golf. I don't want to learn either. And not that there's anything wrong with golf. If you love it, praise the Lord. Just tithe, all right? But, you know, I mean, is it time for this church to step out beyond our faith? Beyond our faith. To where you're walking on water again. To where you're going, I don't know, Lord, here I am, I'm out here, you told me to come out here like Peter, and you, C-O-M-E, and you're, here you are, and you're going, oh Lord, this is unknown, you know what I mean, there's the wind, and there's, so, well, I'm afraid, and what did Jesus do to Peter? Grabbed him as he started to sing, said, oh, ye of little faith, why'd you doubt? I'm right here with you. What's going on, Peter? You know, are we afraid to launch out into the deep? Like it says in Luke 5:11, are we afraid to go out to where, oh, this is too much for me. It's the, you know, I can't touch bottom. I'm afraid, you know, I have to dog paddle or what. You know what I'm saying? No, I mean, is it time to step out beyond our faith? I mean, is it time for this church to go on a new adventure with Jesus? I think it is. I think it's time for us to go where we've never been before. And if we don't, then you know what's going to happen? We're just going to keep staying where we've always been. And I don't think that's the will of God. I think we need to keep moving forward. We need to keep growing. You know, I was thinking in my heart about us, the future of Calvary. I was thinking about when Pastor Chuck went home to be with the Lord and listening to his last message about faith that, you know, there at Costa Mesa, and the things that he said about never letting Calvary Chapel turn into a movement. You know, go move forward with the Spirit. Don't look back on the glory days. Don't say this is the way Chuck did it. He would say, no, you move forward. Move forward with the Spirit of God. You know, and I was thinking, and I said, Lord, you know, what do you really want? And I felt like if we're really going to have an adventure, it's like the Lord, I felt, he said to me, he says, Bill, you know, I want you to just remember when it was just me and you. Just me and you. I want you to remember
how you used to be there in that little apartment when you were in college, and you just had that little bed, and you'd get a pickle jar full of iced tea, cold iced tea, man. The glass would sweat, remember? And you'd stay up all night and read your Bible. And how you were so excited because it was just you and me. And not, no one else. I wasn't married, didn't have kids. You know what I'm saying? He says, just remember when it was just you and me. Remember now, Bill. Now, remember before Calvary. Remember when there was no building. Remember when there was no people, no praise band, no elders, no money. Remember when it was just you and me when we crossed over your first Jordan together into that new adventure, into that new day. I feel the Lord saying to me and to this body, Bill, let me take you where you've never been before. I think that is a word for us. And I think that we need to move in that direction where we have expectant faith, believing God to do the impossible, not settling for the normal, but settling for the supernatural. And saying, God, we're ready to do that. To go where we've never been before. I get excited about that. Father, we thank you for this short message. No matter if I stuttered and stumbled, Lord, with a message that's hot off the press, it's from you. And Father, tonight is our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. We just simply lift our hands to the Holy Spirit right now. We lift our hands up in total, complete surrender, O Lord. And we ask that the Holy Spirit of God on this July night fall upon us. O Father, just fall upon us. And in Jesus' name, would you take this church to where it's never been before. Now we love you, we praise you, and we honor you. And we, in our hearts and our minds, we totally surrender to you. It is not our will, O God, but thy will be done in this place. Let us never settle for just the mediocrity. Oh, Lord, help us to enter into that new exit that says a new season is ahead. Oh, God, lead us into new territory. Expand our territory. Lord, maybe expand our mission field. Lord, whatever it is that we need to do, we are ready to get off the same old rabbit trail. Lord, we're ready for all things to become new. We're ready to walk in a newness of life again. We're ready to be the new creation that we are. We're ready to be the fishers of men and women that you've called us to be. We are ready to go where we have never been before. Oh God, help us. Help us to discern the time. Help us to discern that divine supernatural exit off the highway of holiness, God, if you will, that says, this is your new season. This is the way. This is your new journey. Oh, God, help us now. And fill this church to overflowing with the Holy Spirit of God. And let, God, the supernatural occur again. And let us walk in it again like never before. We love you. We praise you tonight. In Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. God is